Welcome, my dear students. Once again, welcome to the direct tax session. We have already completed two chapters. Now, we are moving on to chapter number 3. In this chapter, we are going to discuss about what are the various income which are exempted from tax under section 10. So, these are the income which we are day-to-day, we are dealing with in our day-to-day life. So, there are many incomes, but we are going to discuss for your portion which are familiar to you, which are again and again the words are coming in front of you, and we are familiar with these words and these income source. So we should know that these income source, the income which we get from this source, are exempted to either to the fully extent or to the extent mentioned in the provision. So let us start with income exempted under section 10. Income exempted under section 10. So in that we will go few of the incomes list I am going to discuss with you, right? So which are very commonly used in your day-to-day life, which are very common in your day-to-day lives. That's the reason I have chosen those incomes which are frequently coming again and again in your daily day-to-day life. Okay, so the very first is income under section 10(1). When I say income under section 10(1), I am talking about agriculture income. Agriculture income. That means income earned by an SSE from agriculture in India, in Indian territory, throughout from Jammu Kashmir to Kanyakumari, in India, wherever, in whichever part of the country you are doing agriculture, and from that whatever income you are earning, it is fully exempt from tax. Understood? That is the first one. So income earned through agriculture in Indian territory, in India, by necessity, it's fully exempt from tax. Is fully exempt from tax. Is not taxable. Is not taxed on the income earned from the agriculture part. Okay. Second under this category is income earned by HUF under section 10(2). Under section 10, subsection 2. So income earned by an HUF members, HUF members, Hindu undivided members. See, in Hindu undivided members, the main person who is doing the business, carrying the business, is Karta. He is known as Karta. He is running the business, earning the profit out of that, and he pays the tax, and after the tax, the income is distributed among the Hindu undivided family members. So obviously, in the hands of family members, it is exempt because Karta has already paid the tax. So that's the reason income earned from Hindu undivided family, share of income earned from Hindu undivided family, is fully exempt from tax under section 10(2). Okay, now the next part, third one, income received. Income received from partnership firm. Income received from under section 10(2)(a). Income received from partnership firm in India. Income received from partnership firm in India. So if you are a partner, you are having a partnership business in India, and you are running a business, and from there you have earned the income, because see, the whatever income you earn from the business, it is taxed first and then it gets distributed among the partners. So when it comes to the partners, it is already deducted at, the tax is already deducted from that income. So when it comes to the partners, definitely it is exempted. So income earned from partnership firm in India is fully exempt from tax under section 10 subsection 2A. Under section 10 subsection 2A. Then we move on to the fourth one, under section 10 4B. Now, what is this under section 4B, under section 10, subsection 4, bracket 4B? Now, what is this this section talks about? It talks about the interest from national savings certificate received by a non-resident. Now, you are very much familiar with non-resident. You know very well what is non-resident, what is resident and ordinary resident, who is resident and ordinary resident, who is resident and not ordinary resident, and the person who does not fulfill the basic condition of a residential status, then he is treated as non-resident. So, if a non-resident earn income on interest on national saving certificate received by a non-resident, it is fully exempt under section 10(4)(b), interest on national saving certificate by non-resident, by non-resident. Understood? This is clear. Okay, then we will be moving further. That is fifth one, income under section 10(5). Income under section 10(5). Now this we talk about, this section will talk about the travel concession. The travel concession or assistance. Assistance received by individual or employee. Now, what is this? If you are working in a company and your company is giving a travel concession for traveling, so concession is given to travel from your home to the office. So, not a big deal. So, why that income should tax to me? Simple as that. That is the reason the provision of income tax allows you to claim this. Means you can exempt this travel concession or the assistance received by individual from his employer. From his employer, individual or employee, you can call it as it, right? From his employer or her employer, that is exempt under section 10(5). That is exempt under section 10(5). Is that clear? Okay. Now we'll move on to the next part. That is, okay. Now we are moving on to income under section 10(10). That is gratuity. Now gratuity is, I'll just give a small brief explanation so that we will not waste much time here studying about gratuity, because we are going to learn gratuity in detail in the chapter 4, which we are going to do, that is income from salary. Now, whatever we are doing not under section, the list which we are doing right now, that is all from the salary part. So, in brief, I'll explain in chapter salary, but right now, since it is the part of your income exempt under section 10, I will just give you a short explanation, short and sweet explanation to remember. Now, what is gratuity? Gratuity is what, you know, every employee in any company, after 5 years, once he is there in a job from last 5 years, so from the fifth year onwards, some part of the salary get deducted from every employee's salary, and they get saved in the under the head gratuity fund. Okay, so this will get saved till that employee is retiring. So at the time of retirement, this fund get accumulated from the year it had started till the year of retirement. So that accumulated amount is given back to the employee at the time of retirement. So that income which he received is fully exempt from tax for government employee. I repeat, that income is fully exempt from tax. It is fully exempt. That income is tax-free for the government employee under the section 10(10). But for the non-government employee, full amount is not exempt, but certain limit is there. That limit is mentioned in the tax provision, which we are going to do in detail in the fourth chapter. So that limited amount is exempt for the non-government employee. But that both for government as well as non-government, it is under section 10(10). Understood? Clear? So, what is the amount for non-government employee? For government employee, it is fully exempt under section 10(10). But for the non-government employee, there is a limit which is set by the income tax provision, which we are going to do in detail when we are doing the fourth chapter, which comes under salary. Okay, fine. So, next is under section 10(10)(a). That is contribution to pension, payment in commutation of pension, payment in commutation of pension, or you can say commuted pension. Now, commuted pension, what is commuted pension? See, in the government job people, after retirement, they get pensions. But for the private employees, private company employees, they don't get, non-government employees, they don't get pension, right? But for the government people, they get pension. That is, now it is, the choice is given to them that if you want this pension amount in your entire life, which is remaining after retirement, and in your life, if you want a monthly pension, that is taxable, that is called uncommuted pension. If the pension is received by the employee monthly, that is uncommuted pension. But before the retirement, on the day of retirement, they were given the choice. My dear employee, we have this much amount accumulated under the name of pension, okay, this amount will be given to you. It is your choice. You want this amount lump sum or you want this amount in part every month? What is your choice? You tell us. So the employee may say, sir, the 100% amount is there. Out of that, you pay me 40% lump sum. That is called commuted pension. So that commuted pension, which you get lump sum by a government employee, is fully exempt from tax. Commuted pension received by the government employee is fully exempt from tax. Commuted pension received by non-government employee is exempt up to the limit which is mentioned in the provision of tax. In the provision of tax, in detail, we will do in salary. Okay, so right now, commuted pension is a pension which you are getting lump sum. Out of the total pension which is accumulated with the employer, he has given a choice to you whether you want this amount together or you want this amount in part payment. So in every month payment till you be in this world. After you expire, that pension will get transferred to your spouse. For her or him, it becomes family pension, right? But for the person who retired from the job and he is getting the pension, it is called pension for him. So commuted means lump sum amount. So that choice is given to employee at the time of retirement. So if the employee said, sir, out of 100%, you pay me 60% lump sum and remaining 40% you pay me every month so that my day-to-day expenses will get become easy for me. Okay, so that lump sum amount which you have taken from the employer by the employee is called commuted pension, which is exempt in case of government employee. For non-government employee, it is exempt to the limit which is set in the provisions of tax. Okay, okay. Next is under section 10AA, that is leave salary. Under section 10AA, that is leave salary. Now, what is leave salary? Now, see, in every company, there is a provision. See, apart from your Saturday, Sunday holiday, weekly 2 days holiday, or in some of the company, it is only 1 day holiday. Okay. In professions like us, we are visiting faculty. We don't have holiday. If you want holiday, that is, we have to sacrifice our income of 1 day or 2 day or how many day, whatever days you are not working. So you are sacrificing your income because we have to work every day and we are earning, we are earning on piece basis. Means if you are working, you'll get the salary like that. But in if you are a salaried person, whether in a government company or a non-government company, apart from every weekly off, weekly 1 day off is there for the some company and weekly 2 days off is also there. So weekly off and apart from all public holidays, there is extra 20 or 20 days or 15 days depending upon the company. Okay, extra 20 days or 30 days ka leave is there, which is given, allotted to the employee. When they fall sick, they can take this leave so that their salary will not get deducted. So there are people who don't fall sick, they work because they are workaholic, so they work every day. So that 20 days they have worked extra. Now that extra 20 days or 30 days ka salary, you can take in a year, any month. Take in a year, any month. So that leave salary, if you are taking in every month, that is taxable. But if you are saying that I don't want to take this leave salary, you keep it with you and reserve it and give it to me at the time of retirement. So at the time of retirement, when leave and when leave salary you get, leave encashment salary you get, lump sum amount, that is exempt under section 10AA for government employee. For non-government employee, they don't get the salary only. Why they don't get the salary? Because nowadays private companies are saying that 20 days leave salary is there, leave is there. If you're not availing that leave, that will get cancelled. So people say that, why should it get, it should get cancelled? Because you're not paying anything. No? So why should we work? So they take that 20 days and they enjoy during the month of December or month of vacation when their children's having vacation. At that time, they take that 20 days and they visit. Okay, so leave salary is that which is accumulated every year. The government employee people are working 20 days in a year extra. So they are getting 1 month salary extra. That means as compared to other. Okay, so those who have worked for one that in that sick leave also, so they will get salary for that. And if they are taking salary in the same year, it is taxable under the head salary. But if you are accumulating that salary with the company, you are telling them to keep the salary with you. I'll take this at that time of retirement. At the time of retirement, it is fully exempt. You received, that is fully exempt under section 10AA. Now, the next mention, this is under section 10C. That is voluntary retirement. Payment received as VRS compensation. What is VRS? Voluntary retirement scheme. VRS compensation. So under this section, see, in any company, if you are retiring before the time of your retirement, that is called voluntary retirement. So voluntary, if anyone is taking voluntary retirement, it happens in case of a government job where they as soon as they get the promotion, see, they are working in some grade, right? As soon as they get the, they wait for that promotion to get happen, because if the promotion happens, what happened, every the salary slab is increasing, the pension slab is increasing, and everything get increased, the gratuity fund is also increasing. And after that, after promotion, he has 4 to 5 years more. But what he does, he work for 2-3 months, and after 2-3 months he voluntarily retire. So in retirement you get a compensation because you are retiring early, so you get compensation from the company. So that compensation is taxable for government and non-government. But there is an exempt. What is that exempt amount? Amount received or 5 lakhs, whichever is lower, that is exempted. Amount received as VRS compensation or 5 lakhs, whether it is a government employee or non-government employee. If he retires, he will get a compensation from the company, a huge compensation. Out of that, 5 lakhs is the maximum amount you can exempt. So as per section 10C, as per section 1010C, amount which you received as VRS compensation is exempt up to 5 lakhs. Above 5 lakhs is taxable. Is that clear? Yes, everyone. Now we'll move on to under section 1010D. Now what is this 1010D? Now 1010D tells you about the income which you received. Income, not income you can say, but the amount which you received on the maturity of your life insurance policy. On the maturity, I didn't say claim, okay? On the expiry of the person on whom the insurance is taken. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life insurance policy. You have paid a policy premium for life insurance for 20 years. After 20 years, you are keep on getting the value. So the maturity amount received under any life insurance policy premium from any company, it is fully exempt under section 1010D. Maturity amount received under life insurance policy, LIP. Clear? 1010D is the amount, is about, it is telling you the about the amount received on maturity of the life insurance policy from any company. It may be LIC, it may be HDFC life insurance, Kotak life insurance, from any life insurance, whatever amount you are getting, it is fully exempt under section 1010D. Under section 1010D. Next. Now we are talking about 10-11. Now we are talking about 10-11 amount received from Provident Fund. Now again, if you are working with a company, some part of the amount get from of your basic salary get deducted, and that is saved in the name of gratuity, in the name of Provident Fund. So again, that amount is getting accumulated for government and non-government both. And at the time of retirement, they will get this fund back. Till that time, the amount is saved in SBI bank account. Previously, every company used to keep that Provident Fund ka amount, which is deducted from the salary of the employee in the SBI bank account. Now they are keeping in many banks, other banks also. But previously, it was a rule that you have to keep in SBI bank. Okay. So that fund at the time of retirement, which is accumulated from so many years of his service, it is given to the employee at the time of retirement. That full amount is exempt from tax under Section 10-11 for government as well as non-government. Is that clear? Okay. Now we'll move on to the next 10-12. Now what is 10-12? Similarly, see, Provident Fund is one of the area where the amount get deducted and saved. There is one more area where recognized Provident Fund. Recognized Provident Fund is a policy which is given by the central government. Okay. So recognized provident fund, RPF, you say RPF. So in that also, every month, some part of the amount is deducted from your salary. But in this, there is one clause. What is the clause? You know, whatever amount is deducted from your salary, suppose from your salary, 1000 is deducted every month. So same amount, the employer also pay, and total in your account under the name RPF, it is deposited 2000 rupees. And it will be get deposited till you are working in that company. The day when you retire, you get this money back. So that amount which you get, accumulated amount from the recognized Provident Fund, is again fully exempt for government or non-government employee under Section 10-12. So amount from recognized Provident Fund, RPF, recognized Provident Fund, is fully exempt. Amount accumulated which is received at a time of retirement by the employee, whether government or non-government, is fully exempt under Section 10-12. Is that clear? Right? Okay. Now we'll move on to the next part, that is under Section 10-13A. Under Section 10-13A. Acha, here I am mentioning the section, but this in detail I am going to explain in the next chapter, that is income from salary, because this is a part of salary. So there I will not give you the section. So that is the reason I am writing the section here and explaining with the section number. There in that, when I am explaining the salary, I will say that I already mentioned in the previous chapter. Okay. So as per the this thing under Section 10, house rent allowance, HRA. House rent allowance. What is HRA? What is the full form of HRA? House rent allowance. Now the employee who is working in a company, suppose they are located in Mumbai, but they got a job at Bangalore. So they are, when at the time of retirement, they ask you, are you ready to relocate? If you said yes, so they send you not in, they will not give you job in Mumbai, but they will give you job in any part of the India. Maybe Bangalore, maybe UP, maybe Haryana, Chandigarh, wherever they are sending, they have the branch. So there if you are going, so they have to look after your stay also. Since you are from Mumbai and you are going to work for their company in some other state. So it is company's duty to work for on their accommodation. So if the company is having their own staff quarters, they will shift to their that staff quarters. In case of government employees, like army officer, navy officer, they get the staff quarters. In every state, they have a staff quarters. So there is no need of taking tension about the employee's car resident, because it is their staff quarters, they can stay there. But if not every company is having staff quarters, right? So in that situation, what does the company say? Well, they, you stay in a rental place, and whatever rent is there for that house, we will pay you. we will pay you. So the house rent allowance which is received from the company, which is received from the company, if the government of India is imposing tax on that amount, so it is a loss for the employee, right? Bolega, are why you are imposing tax on house rent allowance? This is the allowance which the company has to pay, because they told us to shift, relocate from the home to some other state. So it is their duty. So it is an expense for them. So they can claim. So why you are taxing? It should not be taxed to us. Understood. So under section 1013A, house rent allowance is not fully taxable under the for income tax. It is exempted to the extent which is calculated. The calculation, the provision of that calculation is given in the income tax provision. But that much amount is exempt. The calculated amount is exempt under section 1013A. Under section 1013A. Okay. Then next is under section 1017. Now 1017. Now before 1017, I will explain you 1015. Before 1017, I will explain you 1015. Okay. Now what is 1015? 1015 is an income by way of interest on securities and bonds. Interest by way of securities and bonds. Okay, now we were talking about under section 1015. In 1015, we are talking about the income which you earn by way of interest on a premium on securities or bonds which are specified or notified by the government of India, either by the state government, central government or the local government. Right? So if you have taken any securities, bonds, which are specified or notified by the government, state government, that means you are investing on the government and government is giving you that interest. So interest received from that bonds which are issued by the state government, central government or local government, local body. So that security, on that security, whatever income you received by way of interest is exempt under section 1015. Under section 1015. Now we'll move on to the next section, which is very interesting section. Which is very interesting session. Section. I'll be saying why, because we will come to know about something. Now see, now what is this? What is the section? The section says about 1017. Now what is 1017? Now you know the salary. We will be learning about this in the chapter called Income from Other Sources. You know, the salary received by MLAs and MPs, Member of Parliaments, MLAs and MPs, is not taxable under the head salary. Is not taxable under the head salary. We are going to show this income from salary of MLAs and MPs in the other sources. Suppose if I am an MP, okay, or MLA, so whatever salary I am getting from the government is not taxable under the head salary to me. Why? Because under the head salary comes into picture when there is a relationship existing between the member, employer and employee. If I am an employee with the company where employer is there and he is giving me, then in that situation, the income is taxable under the salary. But MLAs are not working under any company. They are the people who are elected by the, they are the person who are elected by the people, majority of the people of India, right? So they ask to give the service to us because we have elected you, you have to work for us. So there does not exist the relationship of boss, the employer and employee. That is the reason salary earned by the MLAs and MPs is not taxable under the head salary. It will be taxable under the head other sources, which you are going to study in the later part of the direct tax ka session. But apart from salary, salary is taxable, but the MLAs and MPs get allowances, day by day allowances, lunch allowances, traveling allowances, they get security, they get Z security. So where all these are allowance, which is given by the government. So that allowance per day may be in lakhs of rupees. Per day allowance will be maybe in lakhs of rupees. So the allowance received, allowance received by MLAs and MPs is fully exempt under section 1017. Under section 1017. Is that clear? Okay. Acha. Uske baad next is under section 1018. Under section 1018. Now, what is this 1018? It is a special for the army officer. If the pension is received by a gallantry award winner. Gallantry award is a award which you get in army, armed force, for the bravery he has done. Gallantry award. So, if a person is an officer in the defense has got the gallantry award, maybe in army, I don't know. We are not, I'm not aware of that. In army, he is getting gallantry award, or in navy or air force. I don't know. I cannot comment. So forget about that. But a person, the armed defense officer, has got the gallantry award, and he is getting pension monthly. See, pension received by every member, whether it is government or non-government, after retirement every month, it is taxable to all. But if he is a gallantry award winner, and he is getting pension, his pension or her pension is fully exempt from tax under section 1018. So pension received by gallantry award winner is fully exempt. Now next part is under section 1019, family pension. Now, what is this family pension? Family pension is the pension which you receive. Suppose I am working. So, I retired from my job. And after retirement, I am getting pension. So, for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, I was alive. So, I was getting pension. Every month, I used to go to the bank and withdraw from that. So, till 5 years. After 5 years, I expired. So, after 5 years, the salary, the pension which I was receiving will get transferred to my spouse, not to my children. The rule is pension get transferred to the spouse. After the death of spouse, that pension will stop. It will not get transferred to the children unless and until the children are very small, say 3 to 4 years. Then there is a different case. But pension gets transferred to the spouse. After the death of spouse, it will get discontinued. Okay. So the pension which is received by spouse, it is not a salary earned by her or him. It is a salary which is earned by the spouse, previous employee, and after his death, it is get transferred to you. So that is termed as family pension. Now that family pension income, which was taxable to the me, but after my death, that income got transferred to my spouse, my wife, and for her it is now taxable. But that is taxable up to certain limit. There is an exemption. What is that limit? 1/3 of the salary pension, 1/3 of the pension amount, or 15,000, whichever is less. You are going to study this part again in the chapter other sources. And for that, for this family pension will be an income for the my wife, but that will not be charged under the head salary. It will be charged under the head other sources. Okay. So family pension received by spouse, on behalf of her husband or his wife, it is a pension which is not for earned by him or her. It is transferred from her spouse. So that is taxable under the head, but not full amount is taxable. Some part, the limit, there is a limitation which is set by provision of income tax. That is 1/3 or 15,000, whichever is less. That is exempt under section 1019. Okay. Now, we'll move on to the next is under section 1032. Now this also we are going to study, this section we are going to study about this section in the chapter called income from clubbing of income. Okay, but right now just, so if the income of the minor minor child is clubbed in the hands of parents. Suppose my minor child is getting an income and his minor is not taxable. So such income. Now, what are the income which will be clubbed? What are the conditions for that? That we are going to study in deep in clubbing of income. Right, in clubbing of income. But right now we are not going to discuss about which income will be clubbed or which income will not be clubbed. Okay. But when you club the income in the hands of the father or the mother, there is certain limitation which is up to certain limit. It is exempt. After that, it is taxable. So that, what is that limit? That limit is 2,500. So if the income of a minor son or child is clubbed to income of the father or mother, it will be clubbed to the income after an exemption of 2,500 under section 1032. So minor income club to parents income. Okay, so in this case, this income is exempt to the extent of 2,500. I repeat, to the extent of 2,500 is exempt from the hands of the father or the mother whose income to whom the income is clubbed. Okay, that is as per under section 32. Now we'll talk about income from. Income from transfer of agriculture land means you have sold your agriculture land. Income from transfer of agriculture land. Now you have sold your agriculture land due to some reason. You are not able to continue because you don't have that much manpower, neither you have resources, neither you have money. So whatever the reason may be, okay, so you sold your agriculture land, right, and you have earned income from that. So whatever income earned through transfer of agriculture land, it is a capital asset. So that is exempt under section 1037. Agriculture land, not the commercial land, agriculture land. If it is transferred, it is exempt under section 1037. Okay, but there are some kind of criteria which need to be fulfilled. After that only it will get exempted. Otherwise, it will be taxable. So what is that criteria? That is not supposed to be taken care of us. But right now, income from agriculture, transfer of agriculture land is exempt under section 1037. Okay, fine, clear. So by this we complete the chapter income under section, exempt under section 10. So we completed third chapter. We'll meet you all again in the next chapter. Till that time, take a break, take a Kit Kat. Thank you very much.